What a fascinating topic, one that I think everyone can relate to. What sparked these questions about work in your mind?
Well, you know, Melissa and I had both just turned 30, and, you know, we're artists with day jobs. And we were both at this point where we were really trying to figure out for ourselves what that meant, how people saw us versus how we saw ourselves. And it just sort of started this conversation with our family and friends where it felt like everyone had a story about work and identity, whether it was being unemployed or underemployed and how that shaped how they saw themselves, or whether it was aging in the workforce, or whether it was just those issues of trying to balance, you know, your personal life with your work life. And, you know, for me, I went to grad school abroad, and it was really surprising to me that in 2 years, only two or three people ever asked me what I did for a living. It was just never a question. And so it started to feel like this really quintessential part of American life, that this is how we see each other and value each other. And so, you know, at this personal kind of crossroads at 30 in our own lives, we just got really interested in going out and exploring this idea with strangers.
Your documentary play is actually actors reading the words of the dozens of people that you interviewed about all different aspects of their jobs and how their work affects their lives. Who exactly did you talk to?
Well, our goal was to get as wide of a cross-section as we possibly could, you know, socioeconomically, age-wise, geographical location. So, you know, we talked to farmers, we talked to accountants, we talked to an aerospace engineer, we talked to at-home parents. So we were really just kind of canvassing the United States, trying to get people who we thought would have really different perspectives on not only what their job was, but how they got there.
Well, I want to play a clip from the audio performance of Big Work. This is Megan, an event planner, reflecting on the idea that it's okay to change your mind.
When I was younger, I thought like, oh, I have this dream, I have this goal. When the shape of that dream changed for me, I felt really guilty about it. And I didn't understand that it was okay that that dream had like changed shape. And it sort of took somebody saying to me, you know, if you have the same dream at 16 that you do at 30, then like you might have a problem. You might not have grown at all. I think that's sometimes sort of lost on people. We need to get better at forgiving ourselves and allowing ourselves sort of like change.
I was struck by her level of self-awareness, and this happened repeatedly throughout the play with people that you interviewed. Did that strike you the same way?
Yeah. You know, I think something that surprised us right away is we asked everybody the same 13 questions. And my first couple of interviews lasted between 2 and 3 hours. And I think what was really wonderful and surprising was that as soon as you gave someone space to really reflect on this, I found that people's stories just went deeper and deeper, and they started reflecting in these really deep and philosophical ways. And in some cases, I could see on their face that they were having the realization for the first time during the interview.
Would you say that people in general were happy with their jobs, or did most of the people you speak to express some level of conflict with their work?
I think almost everyone expressed some level of conflict. Sometimes it was with the actual job, right? So sometimes it was, I'm not doing the thing I set out to do, and I'm not happy with that job, or I'm not happy with the way I'm treated at my job. I don't feel valued, and I don't feel seen. For other people, it was less about the actual job itself and more with where it could fit in their life. So we would talk to people who would say, you know, I'm doing the job I do because it allows me to have my family, but that's how I really want to talk and relate to people, or I have this hobby that I really love, that's how I want to be seen. And, you know, they felt this sense of conflict of always being sort of drawn back to talking about their work. Absolutely. Characters who also loved their jobs, you know, which we thought was a really important perspective as well.
One of my favorite questions you ask is, if you were to return home for a family reunion or a school reunion, what is the one question you wish people would ask you? How would you answer that?
I thought a lot about that. And the truth is that I don't think there's a specific question I really wish people would ask me. I just wish that questions didn't often come with people feeling like there was an answer you were supposed to give. So as a single person without children, I often feel like when someone's asking me, do you want children, that they're asking that as if there's a right or a wrong answer to that question. I think sometimes we ask, what do? And there's a preconceived notion that there's a right or a wrong answer to that.
Almost so, like we're sizing people up on the socioeconomic scale, perhaps, when we're asking that question.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not asking questions to get to know each other sometimes. It just feels like we're doing it to size each other up. And I think that's what really bothers me.
With all the thought you put into these questions and all the thinking that you have done about work and career and how it affects our lives, did your thoughts about that change after the project?
Wow, yeah. I mean, I think that Melissa and I both feel pretty transformed by the process of hearing these stories and living through this interview process. I think for me, in small ways, like I feel really empowered to change how I define myself. Melissa said something really great, which was, you know, there's the job I do, and then there's the work of my life. And I, you know, we both were saying, like, we now feel really empowered to answer questions based on the work we feel we're here to do in our lives and not necessarily the ways we made our paychecks. But I also feel like, especially in the last section of the play, which is called Balance, something that I really loved about the characters in that section was that they had all really made peace with what their most important thing was. And so I think that for them, the idea of wrestling with work identity, they were less troubled by it because they all sort of knew what the thing was that was anchoring them in their lives. And they were able to let a lot of other stuff go. And so I think about that a lot in terms of this, not necessarily trying to perfect every single bucket, but really sort of prioritizing and letting go.
Kate Marple, playwright, co-founder of Perpetual Visitors Theater Company in Boston. And we've been talking about her play that she wrote with Melissa Bergstrom called Big Work, which is now available on an audio performance. It's kind of like theater's answer to the podcast. Kate, can you tell us where to find that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's available on Audible, Amazon.com, and iTunes. And you just go under audiobooks and search Big Work.